Art explains that the key to winning lies within you. In a dynamic speech at the 1987 Chicago Super Seminar, he talks about the power that lies in believing that you are special and that good things can happen to you.
One of your jobs is to sell the dream. You've got to master how to sell the dream. We don't sell a job. Nobody wants a job. Everybody's got a job. We sell a dream. We sell a pot at the end of the rainbow. We sell hope and opportunity to men and women that just been crushed and are disillusioned and have given up. And then two, we're crusaders. You've got to master those two things. You know, I'm always talking to you about the little things make a difference. The difference in winning and losing is this much. Folks, as far out as I can see now, for the next 10, 15, 20 years, A.O. Williams is going to always have this little competitive edge over the competition, and it's going to give you a chance to win. And so I've worried that maybe you can't take winning. I mean, what it really takes, because I am a believer that experience is the greatest teacher to work in the world. You want to learn how to sail? You just go out there, and if you just keep sailing long enough, you're going to either get good at it or you're going to die, right? Hey, you want to learn how to be a great recruiter? The best way to learn how to be a great recruiter, just go out there and try to recruit people. If you just keep recruiting, just keep charging, then you're going to learn to be a great recruiter, or you're going to starve to death or die in this business. So I'm a believer that experience is the key to greatness. I'm a believer that all it takes to become a superstar in business, to become wealthy, is a tremendous desire, a tremendous will to win, a competitive spirit, where dadgummit, you're going to demand for yourself success, that you're not going to settle for being average and ordinary, then all the other things will fall in place in business. I want to wind up now talking to you about what I think is the number one plague in America today. The number one thing, folks, that's keeping most men and women down. The number one reason most men and women don't have a chance to win. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of believing. Let me give you an example of why most people don't have a chance now. Folks, I believe now if I got you back in the room back there after this thing was over, and I said, I guarantee you now, if you'll come to work at A.O. Williams, and you'll give us everything you got, I mean, you'll bust your butt, you'll compete like you can't bleed, you won't quit, I'll give you a living for 2 years. Whatever it takes for you to live on, you know, $800 a month, $1,700 a month, $1,200, whatever it takes, I'll sign a contract with you right now. For 2 years, you can make a living. And then at the end of 2 years, I'll guarantee you we'll make you an RVP, and I'll guarantee you a minimum $100,000 a year contract, guaranteed $100,000 a year for the rest of your life. See, I believe everybody in this room would sign up and take that deal. Folks, do you understand the opportunity we offer is better than that? But do you understand 99.999% of the people don't believe that can happen to them? They don't believe they're smart enough to make $100,000 a year. They don't believe they're smart enough and special enough to be a real RVP, to lead a big army of people in business. See, I believe the key is you. See, products don't win for you. Systems don't win for you. IQs don't win for you. College degrees don't win for you. You win. The difference is you. And the difference in you is the power of believing you can win. The power of believing that good things can happen to you. The power of believing that you're special. Folks, I believe this with everything that's in me. I believe the biggest single obstacle to success in the United States today is not lack of education. It's not lack of background. It's not lack of money. It's lack of belief in yourself. Folks, I believe with everything that's in me, the biggest problem to winning in these United States is you not understanding human nature. See, folks, I believe it's human nature to fear. I believe it's human nature to worry. I'm a worrier. I see, I thought because I worried every day, because I was scared every day, that something was wrong with me. That these people that drove the big cars, that lived in the big houses, that made the big money, that somehow they were different. They didn't look scared. They didn't look like they worried themselves to death. And then when I made it, and I met some of the most powerful people in the world, I found out that every human being, every piece of flesh on this planet is a worrier. They fear. The most powerful people in the world are positive for just minutes at a time, or days at a time, or hours at a time. Folks, you won't meet very many people in your lifetime as positive and powerful as Art Williams. Do you know one of my goals? Before they plant me in the ground, I would like to be positive, totally positive, for one 24-hour period just before I die. Right now, as positive and powerful as I am, I'll get excited and I'll go for an hour, or two, or three, and then I'll start worrying. I'll start fearing something. It's your ability to deal with that and not let it destroy you that will determine whether you're successful or not. Listen to this, folks. Do you know it's easier to be negative than to be positive? Do you understand that? Do you understand, folks, you've got to work like stink to be positive? Do you understand the easiest thing in the world is to be negative? Folks, do you understand it's easier to be sad than happy? It took me years to find this out. Easiest thing in the world is to be sad. Easiest thing in the world is to be down in the mouth. Toughest thing in the world is to be happy. Folks, do you understand it's easy to be down? It's tough to be up. It's tough to get up. It's tough to be positive. It's tough to be happy. Folks, do you know the easiest thing in the world is to give up, to quit? The toughest thing in the world is to continue to fight? It's so tough to continue to fight. It's so easy just to throw in the towel. Do you know the easiest thing in the world is to sit there and look at other people, successful people, and compare your qualities or what you think your qualities are with what you see in them. To sit there and say, man, I just wish I could talk like him. I wish I was powerful like him. I wish I was confident like him. I wish I was strong like him. I wish I was pretty like him. The easiest thing in the world is to sit there and compare yourself, your qualities, with other people that you admire, with winners out there, and feel like you were cheated. Feel like you were left out. Folks, it's your ability to understand that all those things are human weaknesses. That's just the way it is. It's easy to be sad. It's easy to quit. It's easy to feel that you're not capable. It's easy to worry. That's going to happen to you. The toughest thing you got to deal with is somehow mustering up the courage, in spite of all those fears, in spite of all those worries that's going to happen to you every day, in spite of all those feelings of inadequacy, in spite of all those feelings every day of just giving up, of just quitting, just being down in the dumps, just being negative. In spite of all that, it's going to be your ability somehow to muster up the courage to flush that out, to reach down deep and find something inside of you that will allow you to go for it one more time, to go compete one more time. That will determine your destiny. See, folks, I believe with everything that's in me, nobody can motivate you. Nobody can motivate you long range. You love to get in there and let your RVP, or you go to church, or you go hear somebody that you admire motivate you, right? And I think all that's essential. But folks, ultimately, nobody can motivate you long range. The only real motivation that lasts comes from inside. You got to have the ability to motivate yourself in order to win. Let me give you an example. When I was coaching football down in Columbus, Georgia, I was going to Auburn working on my master's degree in school administration. It's something I eventually got. I got a master's in school administration from just a degree standpoint, I'm qualified to be a principal. And when I was going to work on my master's degree, I wrote my thesis paper for my master's titled The Motivation of a High School Athlete. And I wrote my whole thesis on this analogy. I would have lunch every day in the teacher's cafeteria with an English teacher friend of mine. And we would sit there, and this person's been teaching for 15 years or so, and we would sit there, and I would hear her say over and over again, the younger generation's going to hell. You know, kids just ain't like they used to be. And these people just wearing me out. I can't get them to spend 15 minutes doing their homework. I can't get them to pay attention in class. And then she mentioned to me one day, she said, Art, I can't understand how you get so much out of those football players. And I wrote my entire thesis on that analogy. I looked at our football program, and I saw that, folks, this is this. See, to play football, you had to volunteer to do that. See, it was mandatory you take English. So my football players, now when the bell would ring, most of the other boys would go out and play with their girlfriends or whatever, you know. But my players, when the bell rings, they had to volunteer to come down to that old stinking locker room. They had to put on that old stinking uniform. They had to go out there in that hot sun and that coach chew on their butt and push them and pay a price. See, long after there were no names in the newspaper, there were no crowds in the stands, that bell would ring and they would come down to that weight room, and for hours they'd pump that weight. For hours they'd go out there and they'd run that hill and punish their body. Why could a coach get a kid to make an effort like that where this English teacher couldn't get a kid to spend 15 minutes studying English? And my conclusion was that it all comes down to the leader. It all comes down to how motivated the leader is. Leadership is everything. You show me anything in America that wins, and I'll show you a motivated, excited, positive leader. And I said, you take a typical winning football coach like we had in our program. Man, he would dress out with the kids. He'd take exercise with the kids. He'd work out with the kids. Man, on Friday night when we upset the number one team in the state, he'd jump in the shower and celebrate with the kids. When a kid scored a winning touchdown, he was hugging him and jumping up and down on the sideline with him. When we had the bitter loss, he cried with the kids. In the last paragraph, I said, you show me an English teacher that loves it like a winning football coach. Yes, maybe she's got to stand up on top of her desk and throw a book and an eraser and piece of chalk and just let it all hang out. But all of a sudden, you'd see kids get excited about English. See, nobody can motivate you but yourself. It's got to come from within. See, folks, one of my unwritten laws about winning, see, I believe life will give you what you expect. And most men and women have been so used, so abused, so put upon that they don't see anything but unhappiness. They don't see anything but disappointment. They don't see anything but failure. Well, I'm here in Chicago to tell you, folks, if you believe you can, you can. If you believe you're special, you're special. If you believe you will, you will. But one of the biggest problems that are facing you is that most people have developed an ability to expect the worst. See, they expect the worst. And the reason for that is they don't want to be disappointed. They say, Art, I just can't afford to be hurt again. I believed in two or three things in my lifetime. I gave it everything I had, and I got killed. Art, I ain't got no more room for another major disappointment in my life. So rather than be disappointed, they don't have any high expectations. Let me tell you what's wrong with that theory. See, if you expect to lose, you will. If you expect bad things to happen to you, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And whether you have high expectations or not, when you lose, you're still going to be hurt. You're still going to be disappointed. You're still going to hate yourself. You're going to hate your life. You're going to hate your business. Another big problem you've got to deal with is most people in these United States have been so hurt, they've been so disillusioned, they've been so put down that they're scared to fail. So they won't even try. They won't even try. They just live their whole life in a dadgum cocoon, thinking they're protecting themselves from disappointment and heartache. See, that was my problem, folks. 10 years ago, I took a good, long, hard look at Art Williams, and I didn't like what I saw. See, folks, the toughest person that you've ever got to sell is that dude looking in the mirror. See, you can lie to everybody. You can snow everybody for a period of time. But see, the toughest person that you've got to please is that dude looking you in the mirror. See, he knows you. You can't trick him. You can't fool him. And when I looked at Art Williams 10 years ago, I didn't like Art Williams. I didn't like what he had become. And I was sad and I was sick about it. See, 10 years ago, I looked back at my life, folks, and it scared me. It shook me up. If I had my life to live over again, I'd change so many things. You know, as a youngster, I didn't care about reading and writing and arithmetic, stuff like that. All I wanted to be was a good athlete. My dad was a coach. People that meant the most to me in my young life were coaches. I worked harder than most. I loved playing more than most, but I was just a little bit better than average. You know, my sixth game of my senior year in Tifton, Georgia, I broke my arm. I've been a starting quarterback in that town for 3 years. Football was so important in that little old town of 10,000 people on Friday night, they'd lock up the dadgum town and everybody'd go to football game. You know, my attitude was, man, I mean, these times are just going to go on forever. Man, I'm having fun. They're just going to go on. I took so much for granted. And then all of a sudden, the sixth game of my senior year, I broke my arm. Folks, I thought they were going to lock up the stadium. I thought they'd never play another football game in Cairo, Georgia. And you know what? The next Friday night, not only did they play, but they won. And I ain't had nothing crush my ego more than that in my dadgum life. 4 years later, I graduated from college. I got my first assistant coaching job in Thomasville, Georgia. 2 years later, I got my first head coaching job. All my young life, as I looked at my adult life, all I thought I wanted to do was coach football. When I got my first head coaching job, folks, I was happy as pig in slop. There wasn't a happy human being on the face of this earth. I didn't like coaching. I love coaching. I worked harder than most coaches. I won more than most coaches. Coached for 7 years. I'd go to coaching clinic as an example. Back when I was coaching, Darryl Royal didn't invent the wishbone, but he's the guy that sort of made it famous down at University of Texas. Yeah, I went to Coach of the Year clinic. And maybe Darryl Royal would be speaking at 8 o'clock in the morning. Man, at 10 minutes to 8, I was in there in my chair. Man, I was always looking for an edge, something I can do to make me a better coach. I'd see these coaches stay out drinking or stay out late at night, and they'd waddle their butt in, you know, with about 10 minutes to go in his speech, missed his whole presentation. Or maybe they'd waddle in at 12 o'clock. I worked harder than most coaches. I loved it more than most coaches. I won more than most coaches. But 10 years ago, I looked back at my coaching career, and I was a little sick. I said, man, if I had my life to live over again, if I could coach one more time, I'd be so much better. I'd work so much harder. I'd love it so much more. I looked back at my young life. I said, man, if I could just go back to my high school years, to my middle school years, I'd enjoy it so much more. I'd love it so much more. I'd appreciate it so much. But see, life just goes. 10 years ago, I looked back at my first 7 years in business. I went to ITT, financial services, my first 4 years. The next year, I became a vice president with Waddell & Reed, who sold term insurance and mutual funds down in in the South, in Atlanta. I went as a vice president. I spent 7 years in financial services before we founded A.L. Williams. 10 years ago, I looked at those 7 years. It was just another rerun of my life. I loved it more than most. I worked harder than most. I made a little bit more money than most. I got more promotions than most. That ain't what I wanted. I was a little sick. I didn't want to be better than most. I didn't want to be a little bit better than average and ordinary. And I looked in the mirror at Art Williams 10 years ago, and I said, why? Why, Art, are you just always just pretty good? Why are you just always pretty good? And I believe I found the answer, folks, that made me a winner. I believe I wanted to win so bad. You know, I ran off and made Angela marry me, you know, and had 2 kids. I wanted Angela to be proud of me. I wanted my children to be proud of me. I wanted my folks to be proud of me. I wanted her folks to be proud of me. I wanted my teammates to be proud of me. And I was so scared that Art Williams really wasn't capable of winning that I always held something in reserve. I always worked up to a point. I always committed up to a point. I always paid a price up to a point, believed up to a point, but I'd always hold something in reserve just in case it didn't work out, that I would have an excuse to tell myself, well, Art, you hadn't found your thing yet. Just keep hanging in there, and one day your thing will come, and you'll know when it's there, and then you can go for it, and then you'll be somebody. And I found out 10 years ago that time was running out, and you don't have an unlimited opportunity to be somebody. And at some point in your time, you got to stand and fight. And I made up my mind 10 years ago when we founded A.L. Williams that this was going to be it for me. That I was going to do it or not do it at A.L. Williams. This is where I'm pitching my tent. I'm going to see this thing through. I don't know if I can make it. Nobody does. I don't know if I'm capable. Nobody does. But I'm dadgum tired of looking at my life and say, Art, why didn't you try? Why didn't you just go for it and see if you can do it? And I went for it. And I became somebody this guy's proud of. The toughest critic you'll ever have is you. See, folks, making money is just one way that you measure success in business. See, I want to be somebody. There are some of my heroes in America don't make no money, okay? But to me, I wanted to convince me that I was somebody special, that I was somebody different, that I was somebody unique. And today, it doesn't matter, folks, what anybody else thinks about Art Williams. But Art Williams likes Art Williams. And that's the greatest feeling in the world. And there is no amount of money, there is no amount of press you can get in your life that will make you feel as good about anything as that. See, I was scared to try. Listen, I was scared to try, scared I couldn't do it, and I didn't know if I could live, feeling about myself that I was average. I went for it, and I did it. Worst 2 words in the English language, folks, is I can't. Worst 2 words. You can do anything. But you got to tell yourself every day, I can. You got to tell yourself every day, I can. I will, because I want to. See, I believe the greatest challenge you're faced with is these fears and worries and doubts keeping you from trying. One of the greatest things ever been told to me in my life, one of my early managers in ITT says, Art, 99% of the things you worry about never happen, so why worry? I wish I could apply that to my life today. I believe it's your ability, folks, to try, to go for it, to believe that you're special, to believe that you're unique, to believe that you're different. Now, I'm winding this thing up now. Hang with me now. I'm going to give you, when I talk to you, I like to give you things, folks, you can take back and apply to your life and help you win, like right now. See, I believe you can change your life in 30 days. I believe that. 30 days from now, folks, if you want to bad enough, you can be a different person than you are right now today. Your whole life can look different than it does right now today. See, you've got to start seeing good things happen to you. You've got to begin to like yourself again. Let me give you 8 things you can do to begin to make that happen. And folks, 30 days from now, you won't be the same person, and you'll begin your road to greatness. Number one, folks, you can't let the bitchers and the complainers and the quitters and excuse makers change you and make you sour, make you quit, you're a leader. You're a leader. You're a motivator. You're a builder. You're a coach. You're a winner. Let me tell you what you're not. You're not a marriage counselor. See, I believe 99.9% of the people that think they got marriage problems, think they got to go to a marriage counselor, they need a marriage counselor like they need a hole in the head. So when these people come in, they will start talking to you about the marriage problem, you say, time out. I ain't no marriage counselor. I'm a leader. I'm a winner. I'm a motivator. I ain't no psychiatrist. I can't tell you the number of men and women that come sit down in my office, talk to me about their mama didn't love them just right, or their teacher didn't treat them just right. I don't know about all that stuff. I ain't no psychiatrist. And I'll tell you this. I'm a winner. I'm a builder. I'm a motivator. I ain't no banker. I don't loan money. I've loaned and give away more money than most of you will make in your lifetime. Do you know, folks, I have never loaned a penny to anybody that didn't need some more a few months down the road. I ain't no banker. I'll give you everything I got. I'll give you my positive attitude. I'll give you my toughness. I'll give you my best, but I ain't giving you my money. Because all that does is delays the dadgum problem. I ain't no mediator. It amazes me how people can't live with a human race. I ain't spending my life settling disputes. If you can't get along with a human race, don't let the door hit you in the butt. Hey, I ain't no babysitter. I'm a leader. I'm a winner. Folks, if you want to win, principle number one, you got to spend time with those that want it, those that believe, those that are positive, those that want to show up and fight. Number two, you got to learn to treat people good. I believe, folks, by learning to treat people good, you begin to like yourself. I believe that. I believe you've got to develop the ability to look for the good things in people. And that is so foreign to the way most of these universities and people teach you to treat people. In business, they teach you to operate at a distance. Don't get to know your people. That's not tough management. Bull. You've got to learn to love your people, to care about your people, to get to know your people. You got to learn to treat people good, and that's got to spill over into your personal life as well as your business life. You can't wake up in the morning and beat your wife and your kids and then go to office and be a good people person. Number three, you can't listen to the doom and gloom crowd. Easiest thing to find in these United States today is somebody to tell you you can't do it. Somebody to tell you it won't work. Folks, I tell you, one of the saddest things I see in America today is men and women that stick their head up, trying to do something, trying to make a difference, and rather than applaud you and say hallelujah, they try to pull you back down, knock your head off, say bad things about you. Don't listen to the doom and gloom cloud. Number four, don't worry about what others say. Don't worry about what others say. Folks, I'm telling you, even your family, even your closest friends, they talk behind your back. You know, when they're talking to you, they might say, I'm happy for you. You're going in business, wonderful. You're going to make a lot of money. Boy, on the outer side, they might be applauding. But behind your back, most of them hope inside that you fail. So it don't make them feel bad. See, folks, the only way for people not to talk about you is don't do nothing. The only way for people not to talk about you is to be average and ordinary like everybody else out there. Don't worry about what others say. The only person you got to prove to something to, the only person ultimately's got to feel good about you is that dude looking in the mirror, right? That's the person you got to prove something to. Number five, don't worry about things you can't control. Let me tell you some other sayings I want on my tombstone. Like, all you can do is all you can do. Let me tell you another couple of jewels I've come up with. Listen to this. This is brilliant. The sun's going to come up tomorrow, and it's going to go down tomorrow night. And it's going to come up the next day. Folks, do you know how many men and women are blowing their opportunity to be somebody because they think the world's coming to an end? They think we're going to have a nuclear war. They think AIDS is going to spread to all the good folks in this country. Right? They think everything's going to hell. Right? Well, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and it's going to go down tomorrow night. Let me tell you another jewel. Things are going to be about like they've always been. Do you understand at every stage in the history of America, everybody's seen the world exploding and the Civil War and the First World War and the Second World War and all the plagues, right? Things are going to be about like they've always been. There's going to be a United States here way after they plant us in the ground, right? We're here for dadgum flicker, right? This place is going to be around a long time after we're gone. Number six, you can't worry about making mistakes. You can't worry about you're going to make mistakes. 95% of the plays you call a football game ain't going to work, right? Most things you want to work out ain't going to work out. Most people ain't going to let you come talk to them. They ain't going to buy. They ain't going to come to work. They going to quit, right? That's life. That's the way it is. You learn by screwing up. You learn by doing something. You learn by trying. Let it all hang out. Let it rip. Number seven, get your hero. You want to start feeling good about yourself? Get your hero. Coach Bryant was one of the few heroes in my life. Get somebody in this country that turns you on. Go get you a player or a coach or a minister or a politician or somebody that electrifies your butt, right? And find out some about a new lie and then start applying it to your life, right? Try to be a little bit more like them. Before you know it, you start liking yourself. Number eight, always be positive. Always be positive. Always be excited. Always be positive. Always be pumped up. Even if you got to fake it. When you can't be positive and excited, go in the closet and give you a pep talk. But when you face the world, always be excited. Always charge. Don't ever retreat. Let me close with two thoughts. Folks, you're here on this earth for a flicker. I was in Cairo, Georgia, 2 weeks ago, my hometown. I saw some of my classmates, and it shocked me how old they looked. Hey! Folks, do you know I'm 45 years old, but I don't feel one day over 16? I don't feel old. I got a picture at my home. When little Art was born, there were five generations in the Williams family. Folks, I used to look at my parents as ancient, old folks. I used to look at my grandparents as death warmed over. My great-grandparents, I couldn't even relate to that. Do you know today in my clan, I'm the oldest. Ain't that something? Ain't that so? See, folks, I don't believe you have just one opportunity. I don't believe that. I don't believe A.L. Williams is the only good thing happening in America. I don't believe that. But it's one of them. And is this, listen. Is this your first or is this your last opportunity? Second point. Folks, you've got to understand that your life belongs to you. You're responsible for your life. I see so many people that spend their whole life blaming other people for their misfortunes. Well, let me tell you these facts. You're responsible for the good things that happen, and you're also responsible for the bad things that happen. There's nothing that wears my butt out more than to see some football coach that gets beat, and the next day in the newspaper, he says, well, if my fullback hadn't got hurt, if the referee hadn't missed that call, bull! Excuses don't count in life. Excuses don't count in the big leagues. You're supposed to win no matter what happens to you. Bad things and good things. The only thing people remember is what's on the scoreboard. What's your scoreboard going to read when they click your light out? You going to be somebody? You going to be a winner? Time will tell.